This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the GNSO EPDP team, Small Team B, taking place on the 10th of January, 2019 at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the telephone bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no one, we have listed apologies from Christina Rosette, RISG, Alex Deacon of IPC, and Ashley Heinemann of GAC. They have formally assigned Beth Bacon, Ryan King, and Chris Lewis-Evans as their alternate for this call in the remaining days of absence. During this period, the members will have read-only rights and no access to conference calls. Their alternates will have posting rights and access to conference calls until the members' return date. As a reminder, the alternate assignment form must be formalized by the way of the Google assignment form, which was sent in the meeting invite email. Statements of interest must be kept up to date. If anyone has any updates to share, please raise your hand or speak up now. And Brian, I see your hand is raised. Maybe.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
I sure can, Brian.
Awesome, thanks. Are we able to start with substance now?
Oh, I'm almost done. One moment. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
If you need assistance, Okay. If you need assistance updating your statements of interest, please email the GNSO Secretariat. All documentation and information can be found on the EPDP Wiki space through the View Only Adobe Connect for non-members to follow the call. So please remember to state your name before speaking. Recordings will be circulated on the mailing list and posted on the public wiki space shortly after the end of the call. Thank you. And with this, I'll turn it back over to Rafiq Demick. Please begin.
Okay, thanks, Mary. And thanks, everyone, for attending today's call. I see, Brian, you want to speak, but just first I want to say that for everyone, you can see the proposed agenda in the right. We were supposed to start with the new kind of items that we didn't cover on Thursday and then come back to those we left over, but I understand that Brian has some suggestion he wants to share. Brian, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys, and I was eager to jump in with this one. So I think the primary voice that wasn't unanimous on recommendation 16, if I recall, from Tuesday, was that some groups, including the IPC and DC, wanted to add a third request of GNSO Council to recommendation 16, and we took that back to the group and discussed, and I think we're going to withdraw that suggestion if we can get unanimous consensus, which it sounds like we have on the other two requests that we're making as council. I think that we can go ahead and pull back on that one. So curious to know if that does or doesn't finish this one off for us so we can start with a win and move on. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Okay, since you made this proposal, I mean, I assume that we are starting with it, so we can make this kind of swapping and with that one and hearing from other what they are thinking, what they think here, and if we see if we can get these solved quickly. So, any comment here? I'm not sure if everyone, since I'm joining lately, if everyone heard Brian's suggestion here. Yes, Brian?
Yeah, Rafiq, does it make sense maybe to catch everybody up and let everybody have a sip of coffee if they're near my time zone? So on Tuesday, we noted that there was unanimous, I believe, consensus on the two things that we asked GNSO Council for or refer to the RPM working group, and everybody agreed on those two. And in the public comments from the IPC, the BC, and I think maybe one or two other groups, we thought it might be a good idea to also ask the RPM working group to take on a question of pre-filing disclosure of registrant data in some limited circumstances. But sounds like that's going to be more contentious than is practical here, and I think we can probably talk about that better when we get to the access portion of the EPDP. And so rather than do it here, we thought it would be good to get a win and agree on what everyone's already agreed on and not complicate things and muddy the waters, and check this one off and keep going with the others. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. I see no hand, and nothing in Adobe Connect chat, and Milton being excited here. So unless I hear any kind of any objection or comment, I guess we covered that first concern. I think that was the number one. But it's just we need to be careful that we also covered the rest of the concerns here. So maybe just people to catch up. I think there are the two, I'm not sure, the two and number two and number three. Number three is regarding URS. Okay. So just asking everyone just to see if we need to cover those two concerns, if there is anything that we should discuss. Okay, seeing no reaction, just let me double check also with Marika. Marika, do you think we have anything missing here? Just we need to take note in term of in the discussion summary. Yes, Marika, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. I just noted that, you know, there are two concerns that we didn't specifically consider, so I don't know if that's because the group believes that either those issues have already been considered or whether they're not appropriate for consideration here. And I just note that, you know, the first one talks about the clarification of existing policies to make sure that the complainant complies with the policies and the provider can manage the domain name disputes adequately. If I may opine here, it seems that is maybe something that indeed it's more of a communication issue and not necessarily a policy recommendation. But again, you know, happy to stand corrected there. And similarly, that the next one seems to concern an issue with the URS for a URS complainant not to be able to amend the URS complaint after its submission. I'm also wondering if that is actually an issue that should be considered as part of the URS review that is already underway. And I'm not sure if there's anyone that's involved in that group. Maybe it is already an issue that is already being considered there, but I'm not sure how it directly relates to the work this group is doing. So again, I don't know if I've misunderstood these comments or people have different opinions on them, but I think we probably do need to record something in that regard. So if there's indeed a sense that, you know, most likely these issues are being addressed elsewhere, or it's indeed a question of fear communications, we can note that. But of course, if it is something this group needs to consider, it would be helpful if someone can flag that.
Thanks, Marika. I mean, that also I want to highlight, and thanks for, I mean, going more into detail. So let's see if anyone thinks that it's Those two concerns are already covered or well considered, or I mean, there is anything kind of novel or new here that we need to discuss? Okay, thanks, Brian. And I don't see anybody in the queue, so yes, yeah, we got to win and a closer here. That was quick and good, good start. Thanks, everyone. Okay, maybe. So I see it. Yeah. Okay. Other than that, I think that we should closer here and we can move back to our initial agenda with the first to review the recommendation number 13. But just I want to ask here, as you know, in the first call, we gave like 5 minutes before when we are started with each item, so to give people time to go quickly through the discussion summary or discussion table. So I just want to confirm here if we can drop to, I mean, not having the 5 minutes and just go directly in the discussion, so trying to respond to the questions. So what do you feel, guys? Do you want that to have the 5 minutes, or you already prepared it prior to the call so we can go into substance directly? Okay. My feeling is that yes, if, as like I said, if people prepared and did their homework, we can use those 5 minutes for more discussion. So if there is no objection, we will drop having those 5 minutes and go directly into the substance. Okay, please don't talk about that at this time, please. Okay, so recommendation number 13, and I think we have several concerns here. I think maybe this one is particular in terms is pending the further input and legal advice. But with regard to the concern raised here, you think anything new that we didn't consider or discussed in the APDP team that warrant more discussion now today? I think it's a good question, Thomas, and I think maybe Dan can respond to that one. Dan, are you able to respond to the question from Thomas?
Yes, well, it's Rafiq. In the meantime, sorry, come on, if you could stand. Can you hear me?
Yes, here you go. Please go ahead.
Yes, we have not sent the memo yet. We're working on it. We hope to get it out either tomorrow or I would say Monday at the latest, so you all have it before you get on planes and before we get to Toronto. So sorry it's not available yet, but hopefully shortly. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan, for the confirmation. Yes, Mark, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Mark Anderson. I'm just noting, you know, the third line in there, and then the noted concerns is from the registries, and the In summary, I guess the registry's input there is suggesting that this language should be changed to not specify a joint controller agreement, but rather that ICANN Oregon contracted parties should work together to determine not only the types of agreements, but which type of agreement is best. There's a feeling by many that the JCA is the right approach, but that's not everybody's analysis. And also the feeling of the registries, I think on this one is, even though many people thought the JCA was the right approach, within the registries, they didn't think it was necessary for the recommendation to specifically stipulate that it should be a JCA. Rather, it was enough to say ICANN, Oregon contracted parties should determine the terms and the type. And if in the process of doing that work, it's clear that a JCA or something other than a JCA is necessary, then I think it's important to have flexibility in the recommendation for ICANN Oregon contracted party lawyers who are actually negotiating this to have the flexibility necessary to enter into those appropriate relationships. So hopefully that's a pretty fair summary of the registry comments. I think the spirit of it is generally the same, and that registries feel the most important thing here is that contract parties and org start actually working on these agreements. In fact, if you think about it, in many ways, we're on this working group because our existing contracts are not GDPR compliant. And so perhaps the most important thing for us to do here is to recommend come out of this with ICANN Oregon's contracted parties amending, updating, or otherwise changing their agreements so that they are GDPR compliant.
Thanks, Mark. So we have Mark and Brian in the queue, and I guess later we can maybe ask the question about anyone object to this approach. But let's hear first I think Mark was first and then Brian, but for some reason
sorry. Change it. Started talking, I was afraid that... Anyway, yeah, Mark Swanzarek, BC. We mostly agree with Mark. We're more outcome-focused than process-focused on this particular question. So we just want to note that we'll support any structure that allows ICANN to, assume sufficient legal ability so that they can compel contracted parties to respond to who has queries from accredited requesters. That's part of the access discussion, which we're not at, but that is the outcome that we're seeking. So if it's a joint controller agreement, we support that. If it's a different type of agreement, we would support that, so long as the outcome is one that allows ICANN to take on the appropriate level of responsibility to ensure that contracted parties respond to queries from accredited requesters. Thanks.
Rafiq, I don't know if no one can hear you, if only I can't hear you.
This is Marika. It actually looks
like
the feed may have dropped from the AC room. Can you hear me, Brian?
I can hear you, Marika.
Yeah, okay, great.
Wow, he knocked his sock.
I think so, because I don't see him there, but... I would suggest that you go ahead, Brian, and hopefully we get Rafiq back shortly.
Okay, sure. I agree with everything Mark said, and I would just note for this group that the language we have in the initial report here in Recommendation 13, I think
I think Mark Anderson alluded to this, is that that recommending that ICANN negotiate and enter into a joint controller agreement may not be what happens. That may not be, and that's both a legal and a factual scenario. And if you ask my personal opinion, I don't know that there is a joint controllership situation here, pending that we create policy that might create such a thing. So we might do better with different language there. We support this completely in concept. And agree with what both Marks have just said, but perhaps we could amend this recommendation so that it doesn't read joint controller agreement, but that it reads a data processing agreement. And then in the next line, the data processing agreement shall specify the responsibilities of the respective parties. And like the BC, we're outcome focused as well. More than process focused, but I think that's an important distinction for us to make and to amend the language there with, you know, general agreement as to the principles. So, thanks.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, everyone.
There you go.
Thanks, Monica, for sitting up. Sorry, some connection issues. And so I understand Brian and Mark supporting the approach suggested by Mark. But see James and then Thomas. James, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. James speaking. So I think we're all in agreement here. I think from a contracted party perspective, there's the reverse side of the coin that we're aiming for with this recommendation, which is that if we are compelled to produce information or disclose data upon request or from ICANN or as part of some programmatic process, then we to ensure that the agreements are in place, the justifications are there, and that ICANN use whatever word you want, that ICANN has assumed sufficient responsibility for vetting that request and that requester. So that's kind of where I think we're sitting at. I think as far as changing the language from joint controller agreement to data processing agreement, I would yield to one of the lawyers on this. I think Thomas is coming up next. Assuming that's equivalent, we would be okay. I don't think that we need to be overly prescriptive on what kind of agreement it needs to be, but it needs to identify which party is the controller, which party is the processor, and who's responsible for what. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, James. Thomas?
Thanks, Rafiq, and hi, everyone. Now, I guess two points that I'd like to make. First point on what the task of this group is. And the question is whether, after having received public comment, whether any changes to the existing language of the recommendation are warranted. And from what I see, we do have the flexibility to change to a different model if legally possible in our existing language already. So, there is the flexibility built into our existing recommendation. So I think that everyone should be open-minded, and I've gone on the record multiple times that if somebody comes up with a better or leaner suggestion to achieve compliance in this GTLD world, that would be great. So I think, that in itself would not require a change to the language. As I said, we have it built into the language of the recommendation already. The second point is that I think we should remember the various discussions that we had on the joint controller situation and its legal and practical consequences. And I'm afraid that if we just say that the party should negotiate an appropriate agreement, this will turn into a negotiation where every party tries to get the best results for itself. And I think that might be detrimental to negotiations that are open-minded enough to come to a fair approach for every part, this is something where everyone is in it together, as far as I'm concerned, and where a balanced approach should be sought. And I think that having the joint controller situation as a starting point in our recommendation gives ICANN org and the other parties involved the comfort that they're good to go if they have a joint controller agreement that fairly balances the rights and responsibilities, and that, for example, ICANN org will not be criticized by the community if they enter into a joint controller agreement and not fight for something that would privilege their situation. And the same would go for any other party involved with this, so that the general counsels of contracted parties or the legal departments of contracted parties have something to lean on and say, well, the community is actually okay with a joint controller situation. So I think that it is good to have that in there as a starting point, but let's still be open-minded and result-driven. And if there's something better coming along, the parties can consider that and change accordingly. Final small point, Brian. I sympathize with the idea of letting the party work on this. Yet the term data processing agreement is a legally defined term under GDPR. So if this group or the plenary of the EPDP chose to follow your suggestion or the suggestion of others that thought we should not include the word joint controller agreement in any recommendation, we should then find something very genuine, because data processing agreement is something that would directly be linked to Article 28. So that's my 5 cents. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. I understand that you're not supporting changes to the current language, but I understand that also, no, I mean, from others, they are supporting that to make changes from reference to joint controller to more to data processing agreement. I see several proposed language and the Adobe Connect chat, so I'm not sure which the correct one, but keen to hear from other here. So, okay, so how we can reach consensus quickly here? Otherwise, I mean. Okay, so just to ask here, Marika, as she captured different language, so what we have as proposal exactly?
Thanks, Rafiq. So I think what I've heard, and indeed what is on the screen, or what was posted by Beth as well, is the language that the registry stakeholder group has suggested. That would basically change the language and make it more flexible. That basically says, the EPDP team recommends that ICANN org negotiates and enters into required data protection, data processing agreements, I'm assuming, such as a data processing agreement, GDPR Article 28, or joint controller agreement, Article 26, as appropriate with the contracted parties. And I think then the rest of the language remains the same, that talks about that the required components of such agreement include the responsibility of the respective parties for the processing activities, and refers as well to indemnification. I think that language was already in there. I do note that I'm not sure if Brian has concerns about it. I'm not sure I understand his comment in the chat, but that's what I had noted, at least as the language we're currently considering.
Thanks, Marika. So I see Benedict and Brian the queue. So, Benedict?
A question. for everyone. Dan and Trang have, from ICANN Legal, have previously raised the concern that there might be, this might lead to a massive bilateral contract. Have we had any more thought about how to avoid that and come up with a standardized contract? Thanks. And this isn't necessarily just for Dan either. I think it's his question, and I feel that we should be the ones thinking about this. Perhaps Thomas.
Thanks, Benedict. I guess, yeah, I said the question for everyone here. Brian?
Yeah, thanks. To your question to me, Marika, I'm intrigued by this language. I think the registries did a good job of outlining two different ways that could go. I would like to hear more from Thomas. You know, Thomas, if you look at the registries that the language registries put together there, they outline those two outcomes. Like, are those the only two ways that you can agree to process data? Does that capture everything, all the possible outcomes? I think we'd support language that did that, and if that's what the registry's language did, then that's great, and we'd probably get behind that, and I don't think that we'd have any issues with it. So I'd love to hear from a European lawyer or somebody who's a little more familiar with that. I'm also a little concerned about the how those negotiations would go, and I wonder if there's anything we can do in a policy development standpoint to make that easier or better or more efficient. I can see long, protracted negotiations where both sides just try to get their own way, and kind of happens in every negotiation. So that's what we're asking the parties to do here. Is there a way that we can make that better by what we can do here in the policy standpoint? So I welcome everybody's thoughts on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. So this is all the kind of the question about what's policy and what's the implementation here, and how much we can perspective from our side. So, okay, so we got the language that the proposal, I think I understood that there was support for it, but I have some question about maybe how that will be implemented, and if there is any concern, how it can be implemented in practice. So, I guess, there is no objection with the proposal or the change. Maybe you can just maybe take some notes of those kind of questions that need to be answered. It's not that I want really to close this discussion here, but I'm wondering if that need more information to come later that we cannot have for now. But just to say that we the recommendation as is now is okay, but we take note of things that need to be answered later on. So I'm not sure it's the right approach, but keen to hear from you guys. Brian, is it an old or a new hand?
Well, it was still up accidentally, but I do have a follow-up question. Maybe a direct okay. one to Thomas. I think Thomas picked up what I was asking there, but maybe just let me ask directly, Thomas, do you think that the language that the registries proposed about section agreements and joint controller agreements, like, does that capture the totality of outcomes? Like, is that all the legal agreements that there could be, or is there anything else that we've missed? I wonder when we start to list off agreements, if we're not general and if we're specific, you want to make sure you capture all the possible outcomes. So does it make more sense to be general and say, like, a data processing agreement, or does it make sense to be specific and say, like, the or a data protection agreement under this article or a joint controller agreement under the other article. I just want to make sure that we're not limiting ourselves to preclude any other outcome that could be better once we get legal advice and the memo from ICANN.org. Thanks.
So, Rafik, if I may, I'd like to...
Yes, Thomas.
Thanks very much. And Brian,
okay, I was going to give the floor to you, Thomas. Please go ahead. Yeah.
Thanks so much. And I thought that you were silent, waiting for me to jump in. So, Brian, I think what really matters is to get the required agreement in place. Right. So if we were in a different world, we could potentially leave things wide open and for lawyers to discuss amongst themselves. Now, the situation that we find ourselves in is this multi-stakeholder model where you have companies that are exposed to different risk levels, but we also have ICANN where ICANN.org is accountable to the global internet community. And that comes along with fiduciary duties for the ICANN board. It comes along with global public interest considerations that the ICANN board needs to fulfill. And I think that the preliminary consensus or the emerging consensus that we had in our group to say, yes, we think it should be a joint controller agreement because that's the best scenario that we got would hugely help, particularly ICANN.org, to buy into that concept. You will remember that the Article 29 group made an innuendo at the time that there is likely a joint controller situation. The Hamilton memo alluded to a joint controller situation being present. Yet ICANN has confirmed in writing that despite these written proposals that it could be a joint controller situation, they chose to pursue a different path. So if our group now walks away from the emerging consensus or the preliminary recommendation that we had and keeps things entirely open, that will likely signal to ICANN.org and more importantly the directors that the global community or the ICANN community is walking away from this emerging consensus. And whilst I think it's perfectly appropriate to come up with different concepts should those be warranted, I think we should give the ICANN board that will ultimately need to approve our recommendations the confidence that if they choose to go with the joint controller agreement, that this has the blessing and the support of the entire community, because that actually requires the parties to come together and work together more closely in the respective roles and responsibilities. While, you know, other governing models, if you wish, would allow for potentially more competition in who has to take what risks. And I would personally favor a starting point for these discussions where the ICANN Board of Directors and the ICANN Legal Department that will likely get involved with this knows that it would be okay and supported by the community if they go that route. So I think that your points are well taken. I fully agree that, you know, this is the best that we have at the moment. So although it is in the language of the recommendation, we still have this opening clause in there whereby we can do things differently should we come to a better conclusion, but that absent other concepts that folks might like, the joint controller situation is the direction that the community gives to the parties that will need to be involved.
Thanks, Thomas. I see we have two person in the queue, but maybe a way, I would say, kind of to move forward and also take into account the comments heard. So I think the different proposals to make the accommodation more flexible and to not prescribe the outcome. And so that's why we had that change. But I think also hearing Thomas and also the other questions, I guess maybe we need further review when we get the ICANN org memo by maybe this week or by early next week. So one thing is we can share this kind of as a note for the whole EPDP team and just continue the discussion in the plenary. So I think that when having all the elements and people maybe just thinking more, I think can kind of conclude easily in face-to-face with all these elements ready, then I don't think we can do it today, but we can share that kind of what we had as a comment in our deliberation today, so to be used for next week. But that said, let's hear from Mark and then Hadia. Mark, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. I guess I take from your comments that your feeling is that we're not going to be able to finalize this one today, and that maybe this was something that I'll have to go back to plenary. Fair enough. I'm not going to disagree with that. I raised my hand to respond a little bit to what Thomas was saying. And I wanted to, just sort of, make this clear on the registry's comments that when, the registry, registries met to discuss our comments, on the initial report. On this particular point, many people, many of the representatives were supportive of the JCA approach, but not all of them were. In fact, we had, some parties stating that, they had done their own independent legal analysis and also gotten outside legal counsel, both of which came to the determination that JCA was not the right approach. Registries, having to balance members, with different needs, and different use cases, came up with this, this proposed language, which, gives flexibility to ICANN and the contracted parties, to determine, what the appropriate agreement is, and not, presuppose the outcome. I appreciate, all the points you've made and all the work you've done, on this, like I said, many people, many of the registry representatives agree with you, but again, not all of them do. Our comments are and our proposed language is designed to walk that line, and take into account the needs of, of different contracted parties. So hopefully we can, wrap this up in plenary or at our face-to-face next week. But I want to provide that as sort of additional context so everybody understands maybe a little bit better where the proposed language from registries is coming from. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Much appreciated. Just to clarify, the thinking is really that we will take note of all those comments, the point that, like, the same like you made here and also from Thomas, but also sharing kind of things from, as said by Marika, from our group here, like the proposed language. So we can put that, we are doing like the groundwork for the plenary. And when we have the memo, maybe things can change. So just we will give the opportunity, but just I want to clarify what we are trying to do here. And so also we can cover other items. So no, it was not clear that we can reach closer today. So it's better also to try to make progress on other items. Yes, Hadia, please go ahead.
Rafiq, this is Amr. If I could also get in the queue, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Rafiq. So first off, I would like to agree with Thomas that we would all like to see correct agreements in place that would allow for an effective BUIS to exist. However, I think it doesn't really matter if the community says we want joint controller agreements or not. What matters actually is what the two parties think, what ICANN and the contracted parties think. So I am with, you know, I'm not saying that I'm with or against the joint controller agreement. I just say that I see no merit in the community pushing towards something. In the end, the parties might agree or not to it. In the end, it's ICANN and the contracted parties that need to reach the correct agreement. And whether we push for a joint controller agreement now or not, I think doesn't really matter.
Hey, thanks, Helen. Just here in terms of housekeeping, we close the queue with Hamad. So, Hamad, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Amr. I appreciate the practicalities involved, you know, that the registry stakeholder group input on this is trying to achieve. I think they're trying to get to where we're all trying to get, you know, to figure out how this would work best. My concern with the recommendation, although seemingly practical, especially from a time management perspective, because we may not have the time needed to, you know, get into the nuances of every single scenario that needs to be considered, and then what type of agreements might be the best, and whether this is something that would be a blanket agreement that could cover all scenarios, or whether different types of agreements may be required. But my concern is that, you know, if the EPDP team does indeed follow the recommendation that the registry stakeholder group is proposing, it basically eliminates all other stakeholder groups from the discussion. It becomes a bilateral discussion between the applicable contracted parties and ICANN. Excuse me. And to me, this doesn't really work, because, you know, everything we've done to this point is dependent on the fact that these agreements between, you know, controllers, co-controllers, joint controllers and processors, whatever they may be, will have a big impact on the rest of the recommendations we've made, starting with the workbooks that we worked on, you know, from back in August, September and October, and leading up to everything we've done now. So if a scenario leads to different conclusions between the contracted parties and ICANN, it could potentially undo all the work that we've done so far. I find this to be extremely concerning, and I don't think that it's a very, you know, recommendable or path forward. I think either the EPDP team needs to handle this in the time we have, or the GNSO needs to figure out some other way for this to be done. I don't have an answer to that now, but I think the concern is a valid one, and I think that we should all be considering as a team, irrespective of what SO or AC we belong to. Thank you.
Thanks, Amar, for the comment. So, we will move to the next item. All those comments, and I say also other concern, will be captured in the staff notes, so please review them later. And all this will be helpful for the plenary to discuss. So I hope that we are not going to repeat or rehash the same arguments, but just try to see how we can solve this. Before moving to the next item, just the kind of sanity check. If we all the concerns related to recommendation 13 were covered. So I think if with quick checking, most of them are related to are overlapping or are related to the same issue to some extent, supporting except only one that was suggesting to delete from the recommendation this this what seems a small change, but just to double checking, do you think that we covered all the concerns and also it means all the comments? Okay. I guess that's it. Okay, so let's move to the next item, which is recommendation number 20. Okay. Okay, this one about transfer policy. Okay, as usually here, we try to see any concern that we deem, warrant more discussion or bringing some new issues that we need to cover. So, okay. Yes, James, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. James speaking. So I think that the language of the recommendation is fine. What you see in the comments, specifically the comments from George Kirikos and Registry and Registrar Stakeholder Groups, is that really it's more direct to follow-on effort from the GNSO. The recommendation is that the GNSO should undertake a review of the transfer policy resulting from this EPVP. And I think that the two comments there from George and from the contracted parties are flagging some issues in particular that need to be a part of that review. So I think they're all compatible with the language of the recommendation itself, which is, I think, fairly vanilla. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, James. Okay, so just to clarify here. So you mentioned about the review, the current review, not the current review for the implementation for RTP, or I'll talk about the review in the future. So sorry, I'm just trying to maybe to understand what you said exactly.
Thanks, Rafiq. James, if I could respond. It says, as part of its review of the transfer policy, and I think that could refer to the current review that's underway, or if the timing does not align, it could be part of a follow-on review. I don't think it's specific. I think that means it's flexible.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, we have all this policy review coming, so yeah. Yes, Mark, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Mark Anderson. I'm actually responding a little bit to what Marika put in chat here. I guess she corrected herself. The public comment, wasn't actually a public comment. It was a survey, actually. If And then, as she's noting, it's actually closed. So, but I think the, I think maybe the point there for Marika and, you know, maybe a little bit of what James was getting at here, is that, the changes to the transfer policy that were done in the temporary specification were intended to be a band-aid, and not sort of the final solution. And both that solution and I think this recommendation here, this recommendation 20, is basically to keep the language of the temporary specification, but instruct the GNSO that changes or additional work to the transfer policy is warranted. I think back to Marika's point, through its natural course, the IRTP intra registrar transfer policy is coming up for review. And so this is, just through its natural, life cycle, this is about to, go through a review and should be taking on these issues anyway. And so I think, our recommendation, I think that's the long way of saying I agree with what James said. I think our recommendation stands and is not, incompatible with the comments that we've received. Which is essentially, in plain language, I think what we're saying is, the language in the temporary specification on this should be kept, but that also a review of the transfer policy is warranted as a result of GDPR, and so it's not sort of, it's not intended to be the final word on what the transfer policy looks like. Sorry if I got a little long-winded there.
Okay, thanks, Mark, for the explanation and comments. I understand that we are not suggesting any change on the recommendation here. Okay. So let's move to Benedict.
SAC work party had a chat about this and other recommendations yesterday, and what we're worried about is a kind of non-technical people looking at things like this and saying, well, nothing's broken yet, and so we'll let this drop, or we'll let this one ride. Nothing has broken yet, but the transfer policy has been weakened by GDPR, or rather by this terrible implementation of GDPR, and we haven't fixed that yet. So we're prepared to trust the mechanisms, but we want to remind the rest of the group and the GNSO Council to consider how we can regain the former strength and the former sort of security around this policy long term. It's been weakened. It's not good enough as it is. There will be problems. They haven't happened yet. So let's make sure we strengthen them and don't just delegate to say in a hand wavy way at World Tech Ops are thinking about that. Tech Ops and, are not a formal group and they don't have formal standing. So we ought to make sure that we think about these things here. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Benedict, and I guess James wants to respond here. James, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Rafiq, and not to disagree with Benedict's overall point, but registrars are seeing failures as a result of the GDPR changes to the transfer. We are seeing transfer failures. We're seeing unauthorized transfers, and I think the answer is we're coping. We're working together to kind of those things ad hoc. So to clarify to Benedict, it's not that there's a vulnerability that's waiting to fail. It's failing now. It's failing now for a small number of registrars that we want to get a handle on that before it proliferates and becomes a bigger problem. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, James. So Okay, so that's the explanation of the current situation. But the recommendations stand as it is. But to follow up with Marika's suggestion, I think it's good that we take note of those concerns and to provide specifics maybe for when the time comes for the Chancellor Council to work on the review. So that will be helpful as input. So I guess if it's possible that we can do that. Marika, do you think that we should take this maybe as an action item so we ensure that that those kind of specifics are collected and we ensure that it will happen? Okay, other than that, so I don't think there is any objection. And we can keep the recommendation as is. And I do believe we covered the two concerns. The other concern is just, if I see it, kind of language tweaks. So I guess we covered all the concerns here. Unless someone say no. So I think we reached conclusion for this one, and we can move to the next item. Okay. This one is related to retention, data retention, and there are several concerns. I hope that everyone covered them, and here there are several proposals about the retention period. So the question here is consider them and where we need to make any changes to our recommendation. Yes, Mark, please go ahead.
Amplify our existing comments that although we're trending towards 1 year, there is a good reason to consider 3 years for the reasons that are put forward there. So please consider 3 years. I realize headed towards 1 year, but it needs to be said that there is, in our opinion, a compelling case for 3 years. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Brian?
Yeah, the IPC is aware of a number of scenarios where having that data for longer can really be helpful in investigating cybercrime and data breaches and a number of other terrible things that often don't rear their ugly heads until long after the initial incident or initial breach, for example, may be said and done. So the IPC is definitely in favor of a longer data retention period and suggested 3 years for that. There's a number of examples, including one that the IPC cited in its public comment where the vulnerability was detected years after the initial breach or access happened, and having the ability to get to data that may still be stored can be really helpful. So the IPC is for those 3 years.
right? We have Mark and then James. Mark, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Mark Anderson. There's a couple things in the comments, that need to be sort of unwrapped here. So I'll try to go through some of them here. And one of them, just sort of noting what Marika put in chat here. One thing that I heard, from a number of contracted parties, is they want to make sure it's clear that it's, that this 1 year is the minimum requirement. Contracted parties, I'm trying to speak for all contracted parties here, which is always dangerous, but I think in general, we want to make sure it's clear that, if we have a specific need to keep data longer, we should be able to do so. So to Marika's point, we should make it clear that this is a minimum requirement. I also want to note that, Michele's comment, we want to make sure that, that waivers are available. If we end up with a 1 year and somebody has, a specific local, requirement that, prevents maintaining, maintaining the data for that period of time, then we want to make sure that the existing waiver language that registrars have is maintained. So, the policy language, I'd say that our recommendations aren't clear on either of those points. So I think we just need to make sure it's clear that this is intended to be the minimum requirement, and that and it's not intended to, override or supersede, registrar's existing, ability to request waivers. And then, at the risk of being long-winded again, I want to react a little bit to, Mark's interaction on the 3 year point. And I heard sort of a similar theme on 3 years, that 3 years seems arbitrary, right? It's likely that there'll be use cases why it's helpful or useful to have data longer than the 1 year period. But what we're doing is trying to set a minimum, the minimum amount of time where that data, must be maintained. And here what the language is, the retention period conforms to the specific statute of limitations for the transfer dispute policy. The registry comments, essentially stated this language could be improved. We could clean this up a little bit, if I paraphrase that, at a really high level. But I'll say this is something that a contracted party could say, okay, could go to a DPA and say, okay, why do we have to maintain it? Why do we have to maintain it for a year? Well, we maintain it for a year because the data subject has the right, to protect the data subject's rights, the statutes of limitation on, transfer dispute resolution policy set at a year. This is something that you can point to and defend. What I'm trying to get to is, the 3 year period, is a little bit more arbitrary. And I think contracted parties, need something a little more, specific or less arbitrary to sort of justify their retention period. Again, I apologize if that was long winded. Hopefully that helps a little bit, judging by all the hands in the queue. I fear that may not have, but, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
If I could get into the long queue as well, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Sam. No worry. So first we have James, Mark, Chris, Benedict, and then Amar. James, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. And I think Mark there at the end summarized the point that I was going to make, is that 3 years is always going to catch more issues than one. 5 years will catch more issues than three. And 10 years will catch more than five, and
you know, when I first started in this industry talking to some registrars, their answer on retention, whatever, keep everything always. And I think the key takeaway of GDPR is we have to rethink these things in terms of balance, in terms of, you know, how much, utility, on the whole does it mean to keep everyone's information for an extended period of time, on the off chance that some, diminishing decimal point percentage, of those records might be useful to some future issue. So with that in mind, I fully support Mark's, intervention that 1 year is aligned with a number of policies, that we have in place, aligned with windows to dispute, certain transactions. It's aligned with the original registration term and the fact that domain names renew every year. So I think it's easier to defend, that if we were ever questioned on this retention period or we had to, we got hauled up in front of some EU tribunal and raked over the coals for it. But I think we should at least establish that this is a minimum and that registrars and registries would be free to develop their own retention periods that are suitable to their business models and to their local, local regulatory framework. And I think we should just kind of go from there. So thanks. I guess the long and the short of it is I think that we support the recommendation language as it stands. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Mark?
Mark makes a good point, Mark with a little C, and James as well. It's hard to explain why you would choose any specific duration. You know, we looked at histograms, and 3 years looked like a reasonable cutoff, as opposed to 1 year. There was also the consideration that in U.S. law, at least, if you let your trademark go unused for 3 years, that's an indication that it's no longer in use. That's not a really strong argument because U.S. is not the primary way that we determine use of trademarks, but it is an additional consideration that we have. I do recognize the other points that were made. It's very hard to say why it would be 1 year versus 3 years. Versus 5 years without looking at some giant amount of data, based on historical cases.
Thanks. Chris?
Thanks for a big question. Really just to echo what both of Mark's said, really, and James's. Now, under GDPR, we need to be really careful to have something to nail why we want to retain the data for a certain period. And I think in the comments, the GAC put forward on this, the amount of data we're trying to go through to find some reason for this is a little bit unwieldy in the sort of timeframes that we've got. But initial results show that the MLAP process, which is the legal process through which all the sort of serious crime requests go outside of local jurisdictions, there would be a fairly large percentage that take more than a year to complete. So therefore, there'd be a risk of loss of data. We would like to be able to provide some information, but that, or some exact numbers, but just because of timescales and, the amount of data in all the different jurisdictions, that's been, hard to get hold of. So we would really like to support more than 1 year, for that. I think as James said, what do you say? Do you say 2, 3, 5, 7, 9? It's always going to be a diminishing return on that percentage point. But a year is just too short for most MLAP processes. 2 is going to be closer. 3 would be very comfortable, I think. And then we have other operational needs, which I think there's the Europol comment further down, which says 6 years, and there was an operational case there that they quoted on that. So I would just like to see if we can expand that 1 year at all, or I think the other comment made by the GAC was some mechanism to, upon a notification or something, extend the retention period or to actually sort of retain that data. Thanks, Matt.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So we'll hear first from Ahmed and then Brian.
Thanks, Rafiq.
Guys, it's Benedict here. The mobile client dropped my hand, so I think I was next in the queue, but I'm happy to, if you'd like to go now, I'm happy to hold off.
No, Benedict, please, go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Sorry about that. It's stupid mobile client. So, 3 points, folks. Statute of limitations doesn't mean what we think it means. It has a very specific legal meaning about how long you have to take legal action. So my first proposal, I think hopefully uncontentious, that we drop that and instead replace with just the phrase, the retention period conforms to the requirements of the TDRP, the Transfer Dispute Resolution Policy. That's my first proposal. My second proposal, probably more contentious, is to simply write in a minimum of 1 year or at least 1 year, so that allows us to conform, or the policy to conform, with any local legislation, existing or future, that comes along without that breaking this policy or requiring a bunch of waivers. Assuming we don't go below 1 year, of course, that will still require waivers. And I think that's actually supported by the registrar stakeholder group, so hopefully relatively uncontentious. The third part, and this might sort of help Chris out to some extent, is that to deal with these issues and respect from a law enforcement perspective, and also to whilst respecting users' privacy, we've come up with a concept called a freeze, which anybody that deals with LE will be familiar with, or law enforcement requests. Basically, it says if there's something that's suspicious, the law enforcement can file for quick time freeze. That's generally done through the G7 network, which is a sort of international network, and then MLATs can be fired off sort of slow time, because they frequently take longer than a year to act upon. So perhaps we should consider the idea that specific data elements could be retained on legitimate request of law enforcement or something like that. Thanks very much.
Hey, thanks, Benedict. If I may ask, not to put more burden on you, if you can type your three proposals, just that we ensure that we are capturing them accurately, and also to allow other two maybe to go to check them. So, there are several information, but if you can do it, it would be really helpful. So let's go with Amar, Brian, and then Mark. Amar.
And this is Terry. Amar just dropped off, and I'm redialing to him now.
Oh, that's my fault.
Okay.
Wait for Amar.
Okay, it may take time, so let's go with you, Brian, Mark, and then Thomas, and then Amar. I'm going to show him, we'll put him on the queue again. Please go ahead, Brian.
Sure. So, a couple thoughts. I appreciate the creativity of the suggestion to do, language, along the lines of at least X numbers, but I don't think GDPR is going to allow that. If I remember correctly, you can process the data for only as long as it's necessary. And so I think the policy should be pretty clear about how long is necessary. To that point, we already mentioned that we think 3 years is good, and that itself is a compromise between what a number of law enforcement agencies would like and the 1 year period. I think the TDRP is a good guide. That's only 1 year, and there are other things that I think Mark with a C made a good point that it would be good to tie this to something practical so it doesn't appear arbitrary. And I think there's a couple things that we can look at for that. It might make sense to tie it to the existing requirements in the RAA, which is 2 years, and that's I think that's a step in the right direction. So we would definitely still say 3 years, and that's based on input that we have from law enforcement and cybersecurity groups, which I think in their minds already represents a compromise. So we would do that. We would make that suggestion. The second point that I would make is that I think that we would support the concept of a LEA freeze, as I think Benedict put it, but that would have to be enforceable by ICANN. And so I would just ask that we're clear here if we're considering a new addition to this recommendation that that we make an enforceable policy that contract parties have to retain data if they receive an LEA freeze request or something along those lines. And that to me says that we're going to need to put parameters around who a law enforcement agency is and what kind of information is required in that freeze. And there could be a lot to unpack here. We support the concept, but let's be clear about what we're doing here. And then third and finally, we also agree that we should remove the language statute of limitations. That's not what that means. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. So we'll get back to Hammer, but closing the queue after Mark SV, so that we need kind of probably to wrap up. But let's hear from everyone in the queue first. Mark?
Thanks, Rafiq. Okay. Mark Anderson. So I guess there's been a couple comments, Chris, Brian just now, and Benedict, around, what happens generalize this ongoing legal action. That's a string that we can pull on for a long time and not get anywhere with. This is in my opinion entirely too complex an issue to try and dictate policy language for. Contracted parties, and really any, law abiding entity, is going to work within, the legal system, if there's an ongoing case. I think, almost every case that I'm aware of starts off with, freezing the items that are under investigation. So this is just the normal course of what we do. We don't need policy language that tells us to freeze records if there's an ongoing investigation or court case. That's how these things proceed. So I think while the sentiment is good, I appreciate the points that Chris, Benedict, Brian are making. I would caution us against trying to write policy language for this. I think it's not necessary. We should set, the minimum data retention requirement for all records, and that, when there is ongoing legal action, as with any entity in all cases, they will take appropriate action for that individual legal or investigation.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mark. Thomas?
Thanks very much, Rafik. Now, I think it's important to remember that what we're doing here is just what ICANN should govern and contractually enforce. And therefore, we need to look at what retention period can be justified based on what we find in the ICANN ecosystem. And the best we found was the 1 year period in the transfer dispute resolution policy. Now, I'm perfectly okay with replacing the language of statute of limitation as in the current version of the recommendation to something else, but that is to describe that we're taking this 1 year retention period from that policy, and we have a justification because the 1 year period is laid out in the policy. And I think that the 1 year period was originally put into the policy because we see most transfer disputes coming up and surface within 1 year's period. So this is the only evidence that we found in the ICANN world when we discussed and developed this recommendation number 11. And just asking for a minimum storage period or retention period of 1 year, I'm sure will not hold water in court, because you will need to explain to the data subject upfront how long their data is going to be kept. And if you say that it's a minimum of 1 year, that's open-ended. That's not good enough. I think we can't do that. And those who think we can do, please come forward and explain how you think that can be made work legally. Also, any data retention period going beyond 1 year needs to be justified. And while I understand that there might be individual rare cases or that there is a general desire to keep data longer, which I appreciate, I just don't see how we can justify and defend it based on what we find here for ICANN to put into their contract and enforce. Notwithstanding that, we are discussing what ICANN governs. That is entirely separate from the retention requirements that contracted parties are subject to. So they need to keep data for much longer in many jurisdictions, sometimes 10 years or so, if it's tax-relevant information. But that information can then only be revealed for those purposes. It even has to be blocked from access by staff for other purposes. And if law enforcement steps in and asks for that data, they can get what can legally be owned or be held by the contract party at the given point in time. I don't see any way.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
I don't see any way how we can justify a much longer retention period without or just for the purpose of having it available in case law enforcement needs it. And I think that this comment has been made by the GAC, so I think the GAC would be most welcome to elaborate on this from a legal perspective, because I think, you know, that will be very difficult to defend. And so if a registrar, for example, has a statute of limitation under national law of 3 years, where within 3 years a customer can go after them for having done something wrong with their domain name, they can keep it for 3 years. And probably they should keep it for 3 years to defend themselves or whatever the local legal statute of limitation might be. But it's not for ICANN to enforce that. So I think we don't need the waiver as described by or as asked for by Michele, because we're not discussing local legal requirements, which can't be overturned. So this is just what ICANN does, and I don't see any way to go beyond 1 year unless there's something convincing coming our way, and I don't think that we've seen the evidence that would allow for us to move forward with a longer period. I think it would be desirable, but I think we don't have enough flesh on the bones to go that route at the moment. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. So I thought I closed the queue, but it's okay. So, okay. So I closed the queue after Hadia, and we also get Amal back to in audio so he can peek. But first with Mark, Benedict, Mark Anderson, and Hadia. Mark?
Okay, Mark SV for the record. Thomas, thanks for those comments. That was a good clarification. I'm going to make a few of my own comments. I agree we have not presented the data that might be used to defend this. I apologize. You know, so GAC and SAC and others, you know, we could try to come up with the data to defend that. I wanted to make a comment about retention for law enforcement purposes. I would note that that's once the data has been identified as being part of the evidence in a case, whereas frequently we determine that there is data associated with the, so data that's already known to be evidence in a case, it's good to be able to look back in the record and find other evidence that is linked to that. And that's the reason for the longer data retention request. Because as Thomas says, local law is going to define, if there's additional limits on that or additional requirements on that. So I hope that's helpful.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Benedict?
Hey. Sorry, I was just typing my comment. It's a little bit fiddly on my phone. Mark talked about sort of fairly strongly about refusing a freeze in this language or rejecting the idea of a freeze in this language on the basis that there were norms for doing such things whenever there was an investigation. I think that's fine, but I think he's speaking from the perspective of being a good guy. What I often hear from registries and registrars, contracted parties, is that they wish that we'd stop lumping regulation on their heads because of the actions of a few bad players. And I think this is one of those cases where actually putting something in here does bring the bad players, the guys that don't show up to ICANN meetings, into compliance with the idea of freeze that, yes, of course, the rest of us are all familiar with. So I'd say, yes, it might seem obvious and it's not, and to us it's not worth putting in the language, but I think this is a concept that doesn't exist worldwide and we should think carefully about bringing other people up to spec, on this. Thomas, you asked us to defend the idea of a sort of more than 1 year. I think this is possibly, we're possibly speaking past one another here. And I think that my answer to you would be to say, all we're trying to make sure is that no registrar can point to that 1 year and say, well, I can't keep data for more than 1 year. So this is not about trying to get in anything longer than 1 year by the back door, at least not from my perspective. It's about saying that we don't have to redraft policy if local legislation changes. I know there is a waiver for that, but that's not always a trivial process. But it's also to stop registrars, from keeping data longer for their own business needs or for any other requirement. I think it's because these things are never quite as fixed. For example, in Europe, we don't generally specify retention length in a particular time. We use vague language like as long as reasonably necessary and as long as contractually necessary, for financial responsibilities. And sometimes those are conflicting. So what I'm trying to do here is just create language that allows us that flexibility. I don't think it's imprecise or in breach of GDPR to say a minimum of 1 year. I think that intent is very clear. There's a larger point here in answer to you, Mark, I think in particular, that GDPR doesn't provide very well for the kind of ecosystem we're in. It asks companies to protect the rights of individuals, but doesn't envision a situation where we're also trying to protect the rights of the many and the ecosystem. And so I think we must continue to interpret that broadly and not get stuck on 2 or 3 or 5 or 7 years. Instead, what works for the ecosystem. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Benedict. Mark?
Thanks, Rafiq. Mark Anderson. I raised my hand. I wanted to respond to what Tomas said and just thank him for his intervention. I think it was very well stated, and I think that's consistent with the registry's position. I also want to clarify, since I used the term minimum a number of times, I want to agree with Thomas's point on that. Minimum was a bad choice of words on my part. So thank you for correcting me on that one. What we should be doing here is setting the ICANN required retention period and defining the reason why that is the required retention period. I think this is consistent with what other people are saying, but we should also, make it clear that this ICANN required retention period is not intended to prevent the contract party, registry or registrar, as the case may be, from providing their own justification to keep the data longer, but that is ultimately up to them. I was mostly raising my hand to agree with what Tomas was saying and just sort of, clarify my comments, because I think I was less precise in my language than I should have been. So thank you, Tomas.
Thanks, Mark. Hadia?
Okay, thank you, Rafiq. So I would go back to the to the debate about for a minimum period of 1 year, is this GDPR compliant or not? And I would say it is. It does not contradict with GDPR, because this 1 year is actually related to ICANN purposes. So in relation to ICANN purposes, registrars should retain data for 1 year. But that does not mean that for any other reasons, like for reasons related to local laws or other reasons that could be related to the registrars themselves, legitimate and legal reasons, the data cannot be retained for more than 1 year. And that's why I say that putting for a minimum period of 1 year puts it as a 1 year in relation to ICANN purposes, but then it's up to the registrars to put forward the legal reasons, legitimate legal reasons, if they are going to retain it for more than that. Leaving it as it is might not allow registrars to retain it for more than that period, even if required for legitimate local reasons. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Hadia. Amar?
Thanks, Rafiq, this summer, and apologies to everyone for dropping off the call so frequently. Connectivity on my end is terrible this week. I would have put this in the Adobe Connect chat if I were if I had access to it now, but I just wanted to say that having discussed this within NCSG, I think we're in agreement with Mark Anderson's very early comments on this topic and strongly in agreement with Thomas's rationale for not extending the 1 year period as a requirement in any way. And a personal note, my impression has been that we're supposed to be addressing, you know, new and emerging comments that have been raised during the public comment period. But it seems that we're spending a great deal of time revisiting rationales that we have already discussed as an EPDP team plenary when we first went through the data retention issues. And so I'd just like clarification on whether the rest of us believe we are doing this, and if we are, then why we are, and maybe we should just make sure that we're not spending time doing something we're not meant to be doing. Might very well need to revisit these issues later, but right now we're supposed to be focusing on new points raised during the public comment period. Thank you.
Thanks, Amar, and I think point taken here. We are trying to cover the concerns, so to give fair, to go through them and to ensure that we are responding to them. So I think my understanding, but yes, you are raising a good point. I closed the queue after Amar, and we have less than now 45 minutes left in the call. So it's not easy to not give the floor to people, and I ended the queue several times. So I think it's a good time to move on. But if Thomas and Mark commit really to make a brief, really brief intervention, so we can interrupt this discussion, because I think it will have to continue the face-to-face. So we are compiling all the comments and reason, and I will ask also Marika to put a kind of summary of what we got in terms of proposed changes. So if it's possible, I mean, I will give like 2 minutes and then we move on to the next item. Okay, thanks, Mark.
Thanks very much.
Thomas?
Thanks very much, Rafiq. You're very generous. I think what we're seeing in the last couple of minutes is that we haven't done a very good job in drafting the recommendation, because it led to all the confusion within our team and talking past each other. But I think that Benedict made a good starting point for a redrafting of this. I'd just like to go on the record with the attempt of a summary of where we are. I think what we need to do is clarify in any future version of the recommendation that the retention period of 1 year applies to the ICANN requirement only. That the second point is that, notwithstanding this ICANN requirement, contracted parties may retain the data for different periods if they are lawfully required or entitled to. And I think, or I hope, that this would cover the two points that we need to change for things to be unambiguous and hopefully acceptable to everyone on the team. Thanks so much, Rafiq, again, and I will end my intervention now.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Thomas, and as you can see, Marika shared the note. So as Hamer is not in the chat, and Mark put his comment there, so to read it just for Hamer, there is public comment asking 6 years, so a discussion of 2 or 3 years in that context is in today's COP. Okay, so I guess that's it. And we have probably to continue the discussion in the plenary. Okay. Again, so also feeling like a messenger here for Amar. So the comments are discussing the retention period, and that's why we are addressing this issue. We are discussing the concerns in the public comments. How are you saying that we are off point and discussing new things? That was from Hadia. Okay. Okay, let's move on to the next item.
I think this is Armor. If I could respond to clarify. Yeah, just to clarify what I meant, this is Armor again. I'm not saying that, that we're off point because we're discussing something in the public comment. But my impression was that the small teams were meant to address the new issues raised in the public comments that haven't been considered previously by the plenary. So to bring back old arguments that have already been considered by the plenary and ask the small team to reverse the decisions made by the full EPDP team is what I believe we should not be doing. If there is something new to consider that the plenary hasn't considered previously, then that's fine. But to me, it seems like all the arguments requiring or requesting a longer retention period have already been considered. So that's pretty much what I'm thinking we should not be doing. I hope that's clear. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Amr. Hey, so let's move on. And we are now in recommendation 21. And we have two concerns there. I hope that we get a win here. I mean, if we can conclude it quickly. But we need to give fair time in terms of discussing. So does anyone think that there is any new element brought with in one of those concerns that we need to discuss? And so we are covering recommendation number 21, just for those who are not in that we connect. Okay, so I hope that everyone already moved to the next item, because I see there's still some discussion about the previous one. Okay, thanks, Brian. So I guess if everyone thinks that there is nothing really to discuss here. And don't see anyone in the queue. Okay, that's a good point, Brian. Maybe it's to double check and the PCRT in terms of the language proposed here. So, as it is proposed from NCIG, I don't want to put someone on the spot, but maybe Amal can clarify here. Oh,
yeah, Rafiq, this is Arlo. What would you like me to clarify?
Okay, so one of the concerns is from the NCHG, and so just we want to be sure what if this is something that really we need to cover here. I mean, if you think it's something new.
Yeah, this is Arlo. I'm sorry, I don't have the... I don't have access to the internet temporarily at all right now, and so I'm looking at what document you're looking at. I'm not sure which concern you're referring to on recommendation 21.
Yeah, so it's about the data control agreement in EBRO. So, I don't see any point raised in either in DW Connect or anyone in the queue. So it seems that as of now there is nothing new really to discuss. But just we are trying here that we to be a kind of sanity check that we are really covering everything appropriately and to not miss something. So just want to ask you if you have anything that you want to add, since you are from NCSG. With regard to the NCSG comment.
I don't recall the NCSG's comment on recommendation 21 pointing out any concerns with the recommendation. I hope I'm not wrong on this, but at the top of my head, I don't recall there being any problem. Thank you.
Yes, I heard no problem, so it's okay. Yes, Brian?
Yeah, I was just going to refresh Amr's recollection. The comment from NCSG, which I agree with what they're getting at here, was that they thought it might be prudent to add some language explicitly excluding the registrant. But if you read the language of the recommendation, it says as appropriate with the non-contracted party entities involved in registration data processing. So they've kind of mooted their own point because the registrants are non-contracted party entities. They don't have a contract with ICANN. So I think their point is fine, but I think it's mooted by the language that's already there. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Brian, for the response.
I think if I recall correctly, I think the point that the NCSG was trying to make is that non-contracted parties should not be required to enter into any new contractual agreements of any sort, as opposed to, you know, new agreements that contracted parties may be required to enter into, either as controllers or data processors. I think that's the point that the NCSG was just trying to make here. And thanks for the reminder, Brian. I appreciate that.
It seems we can reach conclusion here. That's good. No comment or reaction. So I guess we can conclude for this one, and the recommendation stand as it is. Good. Okay. I think we covered the new items in our agenda. And so we have the few from the last calls. Just here to double check maybe with Marika. I think we covered already recommendation 16. Okay, so what is left is purpose 5 and recommendation 10. So let's see what is maybe in the last, 30 minutes, so what we can really achieve here and maybe make a progress. I guess maybe purpose 5, Christina shared with us, I think today, a Google document where she listed the proposed changes here. So if we can cover that, cover it today.
Okay. Rafiq, this is Amr. I really do apologize about this to everyone, but I was not on the call when recommendation 16 was discussed. Would it be okay to give a very quick recap on what happened there, especially with the BC and IPC request on having access to or disclosure to registered name holder data for pre-filing purposes? Just want to know the conclusion of this multi-team was to discuss this. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Amr. So, So basically the IPC and BC withdraw their request for an additional recommendation, assuming that recommendation 16 will remain as is. So there is no change there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, good. Okay, so back to purpose number five. Okay, so we have here the summary of the proposal changes. So I guess the basic question here is how we can respond to all those proposals. And so to the question here is anyone has any suggestion for how it should be considered to address those concerns. So we have these different edits, and so how we can use them. So does anyone have any idea how we can do that? Well, making a proposal. Okay. Maybe it was not the right choice to start with purpose number five. So the document was shared a few hours ago, and we don't have Christina who worked on this. So I think I see our proposal that maybe we can have the 5 minute. Okay, I'm not sure the recommendation 10 is easier. So, okay, we can give a try to purpose number 5. So we can go with the 5 minute. So since everyone wants that, that break. So let's try with that. Let's go with the 5 minute starting from now. Hey, thanks. Thumbs up. And I see that James is in the queue. And then Mark. James, just go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. James speaking. just trying to gather and synthesize all of the comments, particularly that we're receiving from registrars and registries specific to this this change. And I think that we'd like to add language or propose that some language be added that limits the scope of this recommendation. I think the current language is overly broad. We'd like to see something that constrains ICANN's ability to, gather data or request data for contractual requirements, something that's limited to the enforcement of those specific agreements, the terms of enforcement of those agreements, and some particular or some potential future data processor or data controller agreement, and only for the purposes that are outlined in those referenced agreements. So I can put some draft language here in the chat, but I think the key here and the key takeaway for non-registrars and non-registries is this is just way too big of a doorway, and we'd like to, you know, close it a little bit maybe and put some hinges and bolts around it, make it look a little bit more well-defined. So I'll put some draft language in the chat and drop my hand and let you go back to the queue. Thanks.
Thanks, James. That's helpful. It would be really good to have that proposal language so we can make make progress here. Mark, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Mark Anderson for the transcript. I guess, first I would say, thanks, Brian, for the suggestion for a 5-minute review period. We're juggling a lot of topics, and in some cases it's very useful to give a little pause so that we can review the topic being discussed. So I found this very useful. So this is maybe just a practice we may consider more often. But that's not why I raised my hand. Talk a little specifically about this one, and I think I and registries in general agree with the comment that James made. The language here is overly broad in general, but I'll get to the specific registry stakeholder group comment. When we as a group reviewed this recommendation and looked at it a little bit further, we came to the conclusion that this this is really two separate things that we're maybe intertwining, and that there's so I think we've caught this purpose five, we tried to make we tried to handle compliance activities, but in our review what we came to the conclusion is that there are two different purposes that compliance pursues, and that combining the two was making this recommendation a little bit confusing. And so, compliance handles, to the heart of the registry's comments, compliance handles, monitoring and audits of their contracts. And here I think, this is really, hand in hand with the comments James made, the ability to monitor and audit is a contractual right that ICANN has. And so, this purpose should be, in line, with the rights that ICANN has under those agreements. And I think that's very much in line with the points that James made. But the purpose goes on and talks about, complaints submitted by registry operators, registrars, registered name holders, and other internet users. And this is a very different compliance activity. And so they're both compliance related, but I think these are two different purposes. And, just as a reminder to everybody, we're talking about, purposes for processing personal data, right? And so, the registry recommendation on this is to separate out these two different items. They're both related to compliance, but they really are two different purposes for processing data. ICANN may process data as it relates to their need to monitor and audit their contracts, and compliance may also process personal data as it relates to their ability to investigate complaints submitted by registry operators, registrars, registered name holders, and other internet users. And so these are you know different use cases and should be treated as separate purposes. And that's really what the registry stakeholder group comment gets to. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. So I will read the proposal from James, so Amar also can hear it. And just also want to ask you, Mark, if you have any to that proposal, if you have any suggestion or ideas, if you can write that in the Adobe Connect chat. But let me read first the proposal. Handle contractual compliance, monitoring requests, audits, and complaints submitted by registry operators, registrar, registered name holders, and other internet users consistent with the terms of the registry agreement and the registry accreditation agreements, and any applicable data processing agreements by accessing specific data only as necessary. Okay, so this is the proposal.
This is Amar, if I could get in the queue, please.
Yes, Amar, please go ahead.
All right, thanks. This is Amar. I think James' rewording, I mean, I don't see it, but from what I heard right now, it sounds pretty good to me. I'm trying to recollect at the top of my head again what the registry stakeholder group said about this in their public comments, and then I recall being in agreement with that as well. I think, you know, and the answer is you did point this out, you know, we need to get at a much more granular level of understanding what compliance needs are in terms of processing personal data to be able to really tackle this purpose and make it, you know, as fit for purpose as possible in every scenario. And we need to hear more from compliance, I believe, on this. There was a document that ICANN had posted, which was a summary of ICANN's organization's contractual compliance in data process activities. They mentioned compliance tickets, audit programs, retention issues, and cross-border transfers. The document isn't as granular as I would like it to be in terms of really spelling out what the data processing requirements might be. But we need to have a much better understanding of this. And if I recall correctly, the registry stakeholder group comments also suggested that, you know, that these terms need to be really hashed out in great detail in whatever agreements take place, such as, you know, joint controller agreements possibly or data processing agreements, and not to, you know, unnecessarily conflate this purpose with other recommendations. But I think this, I find the registry stakeholder group comment to be appropriate in this regard. But again, this sort of, you know, makes clear why it is necessary for the entire community to be involved in the decision of what kind of agreements might be appropriate between ICANN and contracted parties in terms of the controllership of processing. You know, I'm referring to Recommendation 21 right now. We do need to be involved, especially if it's, you know, something like what the registry stakeholder group proposed. I'm hoping I'm recollecting this correctly. We do need more information and the terms and conditions for disclosing data or sharing data with compliance needs to be clarified in great detail, whether as part of amendments to the existing registry agreements or registrar accreditation agreements or whether through new agreements concerning, you know, joint controllers or co-controllers or meter processing, whatever those may end up being. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Howard. So just want to check here. So the proposal we have is getting support and well, there are some maybe suggestions and like split it in two parts. But I see support in the chat. I just want to ask here, are you proposing, you explained several, you elaborated in your comment, but are you suggesting some edits or changes? So I think that will be really helpful. What I'm thinking here is we got that on the list of proposals, and I think based on that, I hope at least maybe you can check. We have this new proposal from James, and we are working around that. So if you can have a specific changes or edits, it will be really helpful. Meanwhile, we can go to Brian. Brian, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And I think we might be on the verge of language that that gets everybody or maybe almost everybody a lot more comfortable with the concept here. I think, for example, if we start with the breakout that the registries suggest and then add the language that James suggested into the chat, I think that might actually help Amr. And Amr, be mindful that you might be able to see the chat at the moment. He added to the end, James did, consistent with terms of the registry agreement and registrar accreditation agreements. I think this is the part that might make you more comfortable, Amr. He says, and any applicable data processing agreements. So that's good. And then the kind of bookends or the parameters, I don't know if this is all the bookends or parameters you want, but I think it's a good suggestion by accessing specific data only as necessary. I think that would be good to append to the end of both of the kind of little sub-purposes that the registries propose. And I think if we combine those, we're going to get to a concept here that at least the IPC can buy into, and it sounds like registrars, registries can buy into. And Amra, I'm not going to suggest that does meet your needs, but I think it might get closer to something that works for you if you take a look at that. So that's my suggestion to kind of put it all together. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Please.
Thanks. Yeah, just for my own clarity, because I might be a bit slow here. So, Mark, are you suggesting with the breakout of the complaint side for a new purpose to cover that? Because I think if that is broken out and put into a new purpose, then that would meet our needs as well. Thanks.
Okay, thank Chris, and I see that Mark put some proposal here, so just I will read it in particular for Amr. So handle contractual compliance. Okay. So handle contractual compliance monitoring requests and audit activities, consistent with the terms of registry agreement and the registrar accreditation agreement and any applicable data processing agreement, by accessing specific data only as necessary. Handle compliance complaints initiated by ICANN, registry operators, registrar, registered name holders, and other internet users consistent with the terms of the registry agreement and the registrar accreditation agreement. So that's what was proposed by Mark. Okay. Benedict, please go ahead. Sorry.
Hi, guys. Any list that finishes with other internet users is entirely redundant. There's no need to enumerate 800 million people
as represented by this list. So I propose for two, I like the split, I think that's sensible. For two, I propose to handle compliance complaints initially ICANN or third parties consistent with the terms of registry agreement. It's really, really not necessary to establish who, when you've got a vague list, that doesn't add any specificity, and it doesn't please anyone looking at this with a GDPR eye. Thanks.
Okay, thanks Benedict. So, okay, we have now this the proposal with the split, and I sense, there is consensus around. So Benedict, you mentioned about the other internet users. So Brian, you are suggesting a third party instead of other internet users. So it will be such as compliance initiated by ICANN or third parties. Marika, please, can you ensure that you are capturing the latest version? So, So I sense we are reaching, we are close to conclusion here. So I just want to be sure that is there any concerns with what we get as the latest version or not? And maybe not sure if person someone seems having some difficulties. Are you also okay with what we get now?
Murphy, was that a question for me? This is Amr.
Yes, last question. I said that you are you okay with what the latest version we have?
This is Amr again. From what I'm hearing, it all sounds good. I have no objection on the top of my head. I'd like an opportunity to take a look at it after the call when it's circulated, if that's all right. I'm not clear on what added benefit that exists in separating complaints from monitoring requests and audits. Any harm in that either? If it's okay, I'd like an opportunity following the call, maybe when action item and notes are circulated, to just take a quick look at it. But right now, it all.
Some have had problem to hear you, but I understand that you first impression you don't have any particular concern, but you want to have the opportunity to kind of to check later the language. So I guess when we share the notes, and I feel that I think there's some discussion about how to speak the language, and we have 7 minutes left. Okay, I see Benedict and Mark, so you will be the last people in the queue, and I guess we will kind of do some think about how we can follow up with this one. I think we are close to conclude, but if maybe we can agree on the way we can finish this, like even by the mailing list, not just to leave it to the plenary, but let's try. Benedict and then Mark.
How did we get ourselves into talking about the terms consistent with the terms of the registry agreement and the registrar accreditation agreements and any applicable data processing agreements? Surely we are always consistent with the terms of all of the agreements. This is the point of the EPDP. Why do we need to bootstrap that language every time we're discussing anything? No need. This document, these purposes, are meant to explain to the average layperson what we're doing with their data. We, the community. We, ICANN. Adding extra legalese doesn't add clarity, it doesn't add specificity, and it doesn't help us here. Can anybody advocate as to why those phrases shouldn't be dropped? Thanks.
Okay, Thanks, Benedict. Mark?
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Mark. I'll just respond to Benedict real quick before I get to my point. So these documents are the purpose of these documents are not to explain why we're processing to the average layperson why we're processing data. These are policy recommendations that will go on to a next phase. And and having lived on the implementation side for much of my career, we absolutely need this language in there. The responsibility for explaining to the data subject, falls on the data processor, and that's not the purpose of what this document does. This document is policy recommendation, and the language in here can and will be used against us, and so. We need that language in there based on my experience, implementing policy language. I raised my hand though. I wanted to respond to Amr's question, about splitting it out and, I appreciate that he wants to, see the words in front of him and take a little time, to absorb that. But I just wanted to expand a little bit, for the registries, we propose separating out because, it's really what we're looking at is the reasons or the purposes for processing someone's data. And while they're both, they both fall under the compliance umbrella, compliance, compliance, monitoring or auditing contracted parties, is a fairly specific activity and defined and constrained within, the appropriate agreements. And, from my perspective, it's a little bit easier to explain to the data subject what's happening there. As far as, processing data activities in response to complaints, this is, without knowing what the complaints are, this is a little bit more difficult to define and explain to the data subject. And it really is a different data processing activity. And so from the registry perspective, when we were looking at these, it just, just sort of our realization that, we had, while we were considering, these are both compliance activities, they were really just two different data processing activities. And I think if you think back to LA when we had the compliance team come and talk to us about what they do, that's sort of actually how they presented their work. They said, our compliance activity really falls into these two different activities. And so I think this is just sort of a realization that we were lumping together two different processing activities. So hopefully that's helpful, Homer.
Okay, thanks, Mark. James, I think you will get the word of the last word for this discussion. So please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. And I have a hard stop as well, so I'll be as brief as I can be. Just to respond to Mark, I think registrars are fine breaking this into two, and I think it does make it a little bit easier to make the distinction between the two separate processing activities. In response to Benedict, in a perfect world, I think everything Benedict noted would be correct. However, as someone who actually manages a team of people that responds to ICANN compliance almost daily, unfortunately, these limitations it is necessary to write these down. We've had to short circuit a number of sort of back and forth types of exchanges with ICANN compliance where we have to remind them that they are enforcing an agreement and they are not seeking a favorable resolution as tech support for the entire domain name system or the internet. And I wish I were, I wish that were as funny as it sounds, but the reality is unfortunately not quite as humorous. And so with that being said, I think that in the worst case, this is
redundant, and in the best case, it protects us from a scenario where you kind of you win this dogfight with ICANN compliance, and then you find yourself hauled up in front of some, you know, GDPR inquiry to understand why did you turn over the data that you were required to turn over by ICANN in order to enforce their agreement. So it gets us in this pickle between these two authorities, and we have to satisfy both of them simultaneously. So I think from that perspective, the language is very necessary to limit the scope of what the data can be required for, and that is to limit limit it to the enforcement of those agreements under the terms of those agreements, and not just to kind of initiate a fishing expedition on whatever problem ICANN is feeling a political sensitivity to for that particular moment in time. So I hope that's helpful. And I'm sure we'll pick it up from here next time. Thanks, Ruby.
Thanks, James. So we already over time, but we need to here to wrap up. So maybe we take a few minutes. I'm sorry for that. So we have the latest proposal that will be captured by staff, the support staff, and also I think all the document that were made in the Adobe Connect chat and in the call. So we will capture that. And what will happen is that we will send note immediately after the call. So everyone here can speak up if there is any specific concern that, so we can report them to the plenary. So yeah, that will happen now. So I think we made a lot of progress. We are capturing already a lot of comments and suggestions. So we will allow everyone to have time to review that and to write any other concern. That's it for the purpose number 5. As there are for other items, so I think you can do the same for purpose 3 and recommendation 19. So we shared them yesterday. If you have any concern, please do as soon as possible. So I think many things will go to the plenary, but it will be really important that if you have any concern or you want to raise an issue, to do it as soon as possible before that. So that will help in terms of preparation. We couldn't cover recommendation number 10. I think that's it's quite a sensitive one to cover. So if you had any suggestion that you wanted to share during the call, but unfortunately we don't have the time to do so, please send your proposal to the lead so we can work. I mean, that would be really helpful to continue the deliberation and the discussion. So I think the last time we already raised several concerns, but if now we need to kind of try to move on and to make a proposal on that regard. So I hope I didn't forget anything. Marika, do you want to add anything of just for the wrap-up or housekeeping? Okay. Thanks. We left the kind of meaty topics for the plenary, so you can enjoy there. Okay, thanks everyone for today. It was really, I think, quite productive, and safe travel to Toronto. Bye.
And once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.